Here at the Broncos team hotel in Nashville, catching up with Dan Fouts. Dan, a guy like Trevor Siemian who has the foot problem, as a former quarterback, what kind of issues can that give him?
Well, you know, it's his left foot, so I think it's not going to bother him that much in the pocket. What concerns me, though, is about on these bootlegs and going from, especially around to the left where he has to turn his body and really plant off that foot. But just talking to him, he says that shouldn't be a problem, so I believe him.
The Titans come in with one of the best rushing attacks in the entire NFL. How do you see that matching up against the Broncos defense?
Well, with Brandon Marshall out, that is going to be a problem for Denver because they have had trouble stopping the run. And Tennessee will try to pound you. They've got the big backs and DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry and a big offensive line. So that'll be the challenge for Denver if they can stop the run and try to make Mariota beat you.
I know you call a lot of the AFC West games. How do you see the division playing out here over the final few games?
Well, I like the fact that Kansas City tightened things up by beating the Raiders on Thursday night, and I know the Bronco fans have got to be excited about that too. But in talking to Gary Kubiak moments ago, he said, we still got to take care of our business, and that's what each head coach would tell you. So, three teams now in the AFC West, and they're all super teams, and it should be an exciting finish.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it.
Back here on the BTV Live pregame show, great catching up with Dan Fouts, who will be in the booth for CBS today. And he talked about this matchup. Let's take a closer look at these two teams, how they match up on paper. The Broncos offense, 27th in the league overall. The Titans offense, 7th. Of course, we know all about their running game. You can see there their rushing attack, 141.5 yards per game, 3rd in the league. The Broncos rushing attack just at 100. But where they make up for that is in the passing game. And the Titans are 26th in the league in passing defense. Meanwhile, that Broncos, the no-fly zone, 1st in the league in passes allowed. But Mace, they've got the best pass defense, but they're going to have the rush defense today.
Yeah, and that's been the issue all year. It's been the work against the run, and the Broncos had some promising moments in November after getting gashed by the Raiders, played well against the run against the Saints and the Chiefs. But I think Jaguars did a good job running on them last week, 4.1 yards per carry. And even though there was only one run of double digits, there were a lot of those 4, 5, 6, 7 yard runs. And that's what the Titans do really well. They're not really explosive in terms of 20-plus runs, but you look at the number of runs, they're 6 to 9 yards. They're the third highest rate in the league, so that's something the Broncos have to be concerned about.
Yeah, they got the run, and then when it comes to the pass, they have a little guy named Delanie Walker.
Yeah, I think that this offense is very well suited for this Titans offense. I think that also, though, going back to the running backs, though, I think that DeMarco Murray, a fantastic running back. I think that this guy really brings it all, second to Ezekiel Elliott in rushing yards so far this season. So I think that, like you said, this offense, very balanced.
Yes, that's the key. Yeah, balanced. Delanie Walker, take a look at some of his numbers. 4th in yards, 6 touchdowns this season, the most among all tight ends.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota looks to him first quite a bit with breezing. You see what he can do as a pass catcher. But, I mean, he's a true every-down, all-around tight end. And he's a very good blocker as well. In fact, that's really how he made his name. When he was in San Francisco, Vernon Davis was the pass catcher. Delanie Walker was the blocker. He comes out here. The question is, can he develop as a pass catcher? Well, he's one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the league right now. A sure bet to go to the Pro Bowl, and they get him, and they create so many good matchups for him. They get him in one-on-one situations that he can exploit, and does a great job finding seams in the zone. And given the Broncos' issues with tight ends this year, Delanie Walker could be problematic today.
He could be a problem, but it really, Matt, it starts with the running game.
Right, and I think that, like we mentioned, second to Ezekiel Elliott in rushing yards. Last year, with the Eagles, people wrote off DeMarco Murray, right? People thought, he's probably past his prime and this is it. But guys like Vaughn Miller, the MVP candidate for the Broncos, and plenty of his teammates know exactly what Murray can do, and they are certainly concerned.
DeMarco Murray, huge fan of DeMarco Murray. Ever since college, we came out together, huge fan. Got the utmost respect for him. Feel like he's, the best running back in the game, if not the best, top 2 or 3. It just depends on the day.
Murray's looks like he did at Dallas. I mean, he looks like one of the top backs in the league. He's already over 1,000 yards. So they're utilizing him as the main back, but the other guy comes in and can pound you and make plays too. So
if you play a fundamentally sound with him, that's how you can stop him. But you can't just be running up the field or doing your own deal. Everybody has to be on one accord.
Certainly everybody knows about their history
Coming into this season, a lot of people around the league thought that Murray was going to act as kind of a stopgap to Derrick Henry, of course, the Heisman Trophy winner that we just mentioned. But it really has become Murray's show as that bell cow back with Henry kind of spelling him. I think that Murray's done an incredible job and has really shown people around the league he's still got some juice left.
Yeah, and you heard DeMarcus Ware there say that the pass rushers need to be disciplined, not just for Murray, but also to contain Marcus Mariota. The Oregon Duck is having a great sophomore season. Let's take a look at some of his numbers from this 2016 campaign. He nearly has 3,000 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and his quarterback rating is 5th in the NFL. Now Andrew Mason will take a closer look and break down the film of Marcus Mariota.
Thanks, Phil. Marcus Mariota, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. This has been a breakthrough season for him and the Titans. I don't know if it's going to end with a postseason bid, but certainly you can see that this franchise and this quarterback are collectively on the right track. There's a few examples of what he can do. Let's start right here against Green Bay, finding Delanie Walker. Now it's a 3rd-and-3 play. The Packers are playing a zone. They have a bunch of defenders at the sticks. They have the safeties deep, and Delanie Walker just finds the opening underneath the zone. Marcus Mariota, he's looking to Delanie Walker first on a lot of plays. Certainly he's earned that right. And on this particular series, Walker had 47 yards on 3 receptions. It's an example of how dangerous Delanie Walker can be and how much in sync Mariota is with Delanie Walker. Same game, let's go to the second half. Finding Rishard Matthews. Different type of play, but you look here. He's looking left. He's looking right, and then he throws left. He's just looking the safety away to set up Matthews in a one-on-one matchup. Again, part of the maturation of a young quarterback is the ability to use his eyes, use his head to distract the defender, to make sure they don't diagnose his intent. You get the one-on-one matchup, perfect play, touchdown, Titans go in front 28-7. But he's also a great runner. Now, he does prefer to throw first. We're not talking about a Cam Newton here who is likely to run his throw. Very dangerous on the ground, but he wants to throw the ball. That being said, when he does run, something interesting here. This is his 14-yard touchdown run against San Diego. You see him get outside. Nice athleticism to get to the pylon for the touchdown. But I want you to watch the center right here. Doesn't move, and then he takes off. Basically, he's giving a tip on the play because he's starting to get downfield across the line of scrimmage before Mariota has committed to the run or the pass. So there's a little bit of a tell there that I think defenders can kind of key on. If you see that center or one of the guards, have that very slight hesitation, then start up field when Mariota's in the pocket, Mariota can't throw because if he does, it's an ineligible man downfield. It's a penalty. So if you watch for that, you may get a little bit of a tell on when Mariota's going to run. So there is a little bit of a weakness. Maybe the Broncos can expose that with the intelligence with which they play defense and also the speed they have on the back end, guys.
Thank you very much, Mace. Nice job there. And Mariota will be a handful for the Broncos, especially without linebacker Brandon Marshall, who'd already been ruled out for this game. Let's take a look at the Broncos' inactives for today. Austin Davis, Jordan Norwood, Lorenzo Doss, Casey Kreider, Brandon Marshall, Connor McGovern, and Billy Turner. Mace, the surprise there, maybe Jordan Norwood.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise there, but you've got Quentin Goss, who's promoted from the practice squad yesterday, and the Broncos need him to help provide depth behind Brandon Marshall. And the big news, I think, among the inactives, though, today, it's on the Titans side. Jarrell Casey, their terrific defensive tackle, inactive for this game. That is a potential game changer for the Titans defense. He draws so many double teams, and everything they do in the pass rush on the outside flows from him drawing offensive linemen, getting double, sometimes even triple teams. So that's a huge loss for the Titans today.
Big news out of the Titans camp there, but for the Broncos, the injury concern, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I think that, like Mesa just mentioned about Goss, I think that the concern is on special teams, of course, with Zaire Anderson having to kind of move up behind Corey Nelson at middle linebacker. So Goss gives him some depth when it comes to that position. I also think Cody Latimer being up, a huge thing for him, just because last week he had a pretty good week in the passing game for the Broncos, had a very nice reception from Paxton Lynch. So I think he's earned another week, and I think he's done a great job. Let's see if he can continue the momentum.
Well, without Brandon Marshall in there, I'm sure Wade Phillips will find a way to get creative. Both, actually, defensive coordinators in this game are very creative, very capable.
two oldest defensive coordinators in all of the NFL.
Yeah, Dick LeBeau, of course, 79 years old. He came over from Pittsburgh for the 2015 season, and you're really starting to see his impact on the Titans' defense. A lot of zone blitz type stuff, of course. He's had very good interior presence on the defensive line, like I mentioned with Casey. They're going to be hamstrung a bit today, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of pass rushes that he has devised for Trevor Siemian. And, of course, you know, Wade Phillips, he's another guy that has a lot of creative rushes. So if you're a fan of the pass rush, this is a good game to watch in terms of some different things that you won't see from any other coordinator.
Two of the oldest, but also two of the best, like you said, Mace, invented the zone blitz with LeBeau, and then Wade Phillips led one of the best defenses of all time last season.
Yeah, when you mentioned it with LeBeau and Wade, these guys literally invented the language when it comes to a lot of these defenses that we find around the NFL. Think about it. The words that are coming out of all of these coordinators' mouths around the NFL originated with two of these guys. So these two guys are very special people. And Wade Phillips earlier this week gave some insight as to why guys like him and LeBeau have had so much success in their later years.
They don't fear you. I can tell you that. You know, in the old days, you know, the way the old days where they grabbed them by the face mask and told them they were going to cut them that day and that kind of stuff. Those things don't happen. They got guaranteed contracts and all that stuff now. So it's so you got to relate to them on a level that you can help them be a better player, and that's what we've always tried to do.
One of the greatest things about these two guys is their ability to not only reach the players, but kind of be flexible with the changes. We've seen injuries come about with the Broncos the last couple of seasons with Wade Phillips, and it doesn't matter who's in there, the results are the same. Near the top of the league, we saw Brandon Marshall go down this week. I think Corey Nelson, Wade Phillips gets the most out of these guys, and I think he's going to do that today here in Tennessee.
Yeah, he has the right mentality there. The guys have to respect you, and the players definitely respect Wade Phillips. And it's funny, we talked so much about Wade today because he got his first job in the NFL against this Tennessee Titans franchise, and that leads us perfectly right back into today's trivia question. Wade Phillips coached in the Houston, Tennessee franchise from 1975 to 1980 under his father, Bump Phillips. Well, what was the Oilers' record versus the Broncos during that time? This is a pretty tough one, Mace. You got it, something?
It's pretty tough, but I'll say this. There was one win for the Broncos in that time over the then Houston Oilers, and it was actually the win that clinched their first playoff bid and first division title back in 1977. The Broncos come home from the Astrodome, and there are thousands of people at Stapleton Airport to meet them. But that was the only time. And the Oilers, I believe, won three times, including in 1980 with Ken Stabler at quarterback.
Impressive, Mace, right there. Yeah, 3-1.
This guy.
3-1 against the Oilers back in the 70s. Denver's only win, of course, there in 1977. Phillips is coaching another great defense again this year, led by, of course, Von Miller. When we come back on the BTV Live pregame show, Miller is on pace to have 18 sacks this season. But is that enough to win Defensive Player of the Year? We'll give our thoughts when we come back.